Thessalonians, beginning at verse 6 of chapter 1. Paul is writing this to one of his favorite churches, the Thessalonian church. This was a church that had become near and dear to the heart of Paul, and we'll see why. He says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned from God to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." We're going to look this morning at being a missionary church, what it means to be a missionary church. I think because we sometimes lose our focus, we sometimes forget why we're here, You know, is it just a kind of a religious club where we just kind of get together, pat one another on the back, and say, you know, what wonderful people you are, which we are, of course. But there's more to it than that. We are here to fulfill a mission. I've been reading recently about the missions that our nation has had. Of course, we who are Christians believe that God has called us to be a Christian nation, to be a light to the other nations, to be a beacon of freedom, all these things which flow out of the gospel of Christ. But I was reading too about the space mission and how we seem to have lost our focus on the space mission. The shuttle fleet has been retired, three shuttles, but all that we have. And there are some astronauts saying that we need that vision as a nation to lift us out of ourselves, out of the problems, I suppose, here, to higher heights. Well, in a way, I think that's what we need to do this morning. And we need to do that periodically. We need to realize why we're here, to fulfill that mission. Well, we're told about the Thessalonian church, and I think the Thessalonian church is really set forth by God to be a model for us in this area of missions. Because here's a missionary church. They roared the word of God out, sounded out, rang out. Those are some of the other translations. Roared, I don't think you'll find that. But the word actually means to roar like the sea. But we hear the sea roaring sometimes here close to the ocean. And I think of that too when maybe when I listen to a sports event and hear the fans in the stadium roar. If you've ever been to a big stadium and a big game, you know what that roar is like. I mean, it'll carry you away. I mean, it'll just really, you know, you can't be passive once you hear that. Well, this is what it's talking about here, how the word of God roared out from them, a sound hard to ignore. And it reminds us of that rushing mighty wind of the Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2. So what can we learn from the example of the Thessalonian believers? How to be such a missionary church? I trust that we want to be what God has called us to be. I like the Thessalonian believers. Now, you may know that the Thessalonian believers, the Thessalonians themselves were not a very noble people. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says that the people of Berea, which was the next city that Paul went to after he was kind of forced to leave Thessalonica, there was a strong Jewish community there, and there was a lot of opposition to the preaching of the gospel. So that he was basically evicted from that town. And he went to the next town over, which was called Berea. And the Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, it's not talking about the believers in Thessalonica. So I think we need to understand that. There's something that here that I believe God has set forth and as an example for us to follow. So I want us to learn some lessons, if we could, about this church of Thessalonica. About, first of all, their receiving of the word. There was a word received, and that word is, I've capitalized, because that's the word of God. And it speaks in our scripture passage here about how the Thessalonian believers became imitators of us and of the Lord. Now, how did they become imitators of the Lord? Well, by the message of the word of God. They welcomed that message with the joy given them by the Holy Spirit. So I want us to just think about that. Their receiving of the word. And in that receiving of the word, there was an allegiance. Now, as Americans, growing up in the public schools, we used to always pledge our allegiance to the flag. And we would always say under God, I think even before it became an official part of the pledge of the allegiance. I'm not sure that they pledged allegiance in that way, but they did in their profession of faith, became imitators of us and of the Lord. It shows that their lives were changed as they came to hear the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, he's the only one who can save and take us to heaven. He is the way, we all know that. But they had this, obviously, a very strong allegiance to the Word of God. In spite of afflictions, when the test of their allegiance came, they did not give in to the enemy who wants to snatch that Word from their hearts. Now, remember, Paul was only there, I think, about a month. But in that month's time, he sowed the seed of the Word of God Some among the Jews became believers, but mostly this was a Gentile church. And there was a lot of persecution. I think we understand the New Testament times where Christians were being persecuted from all sides. It was not a popular thing to be a Christian. Now it's popular. You know, you can wear a cross around your neck, even if you're not a Christian. I mean, it's just kind of popular to be a Christian, to name a child Christian or something like that. Maybe it's because we did not experience the afflictions that they experienced. Now, I'm not wishing that upon us, but I wonder maybe it's because we're not letting the Word of God ring out from us. Now, when I say from the church, I think it was more the church as individuals that went out and they told everyone that they met about the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Word of God roared out from them. It's really the meaning of the word. Even in spite of their afflictions. Now, I know we all complain about our different afflictions. We all have them. Some more than others. But maybe our afflictions are more self-inflicted wounds sometimes. I think it's true of me. And I think it's true of most Christians I know. That we're, you know, we shoot ourselves in the foot. Like Barney Fife. We love the old Andy Griffith shows with Barney. Just something to think about. Are we living for the Lord as we should? Are we living, letting the Word of God sound out from us? Or maybe the afflictions aren't coming because we're not obedient in that regard. There was an effect. Now, when I say effect, I didn't misspell it. Base of our word, affection. They obviously had a new affections, new desires. And those desires were to share with others this good news, this treasure that they had received. And it's really all witnessing is, all missions is, to share with others the treasure of the gospel. When you think about it, we're a generous nation. We love to share with those people who are in need. And not so much because we love to do that, but because I think God has called us to be that kind of a nation, that kind of a people. And as a church, we feel good sometimes when we do that. And it's not a good enough motive, I think, just to feel good. We need to realize what Jesus did for us, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich, and that we might enrich others as we share this good news. So there's the lesson of a word received, also the lesson of a word revealed. Here was a church who lived the example of what they had heard about Jesus Christ, the Lord, and what they had seen in Paul. This servant, this man with a servant heart who loved God, who loved people, and who was willing to do anything, even die if necessary. And there is one time at least where Paul probably did die. He was stoned to death. And God raised him up. But there was the modeling that I want us to think about. They were examples, the scripture says here. It says in verse 7 that they became a model to all the believers. Now, wouldn't you like to be a model? I think we have a few people here this morning that could be models. But I'm not talking about model in that sense. I'm talking about model, a model Christian, modeling the gospel, being an example, here, as it says here, to the believers. And the Greek word there means the mark of a stroke or a blow or a print, a figure formed by a blow or an impression, kind of the stamp of a king upon a letter, for example. That's how this word is used. So we are to be the image of God to our world. Not that we are to go around that saying, well, you need to worship me, I'm God. We're not God. But we do have the Spirit of Christ within us. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says if any man has not, or any person, has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we are to model that faith as the believers in Thessalonica did. Now you may be thinking, well, what does this have to do with missions? Well, we're talking this month about state missions. Missions really outside our door here. including Ebba Beach, and primarily, I would say Ebba Beach, because this is our Jerusalem, as it were. So it's really what our job is to do when we leave here this morning, to be missionaries, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and to support those in our prayer, certainly, financially, if we're able to do that. And even if we're not able to do that, I think God will provide if we would be willing to share. Are we willing to believe that God is big enough to supply our needs? Well, I think that here's a church who has set forth as an example for us. A church that was a suffering church. No doubt many of them were being imprisoned, perhaps even killed for their faith in Jesus. And I think that was part of the sounding out of the word. As people looked at them and saw here really the image of Christ in them. That Christ acted out before their very eyes. So there was a modeling in that word received. There was a message. It says that your faith in God has become known everywhere. And like Paul, they preach not themselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I think if we understand that Paul was really like the spiritual father of these people, then they must have heard him say things like that. And not just say them, but to act them out in their presence. Live them out, not just act in the sense that we're actors on a stage, of course, but living out the truth that we know about Jesus, how he loved us, how he gave himself for us, how he came to be a servant, to not be ministered to, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And then they had this mission of spreading the word. Again, going back to that sounding out of the word of God, ringing it out, roaring it out even. They were faithful to their mission. We're not a secret society with secret rites and meetings behind locked doors, but our mission is outside the doors. People need the Lord. And we have the privilege of sharing this good news with them. The good news of the gospel. So there's the lesson of a word received, a word revealed, and a word relied upon. And I'm following the scripture passage here. It says in verse 9 that they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us, how you turned to God from idols. Now, I'm not sure who specifically the they are that Paul is speaking of here. You know, they didn't have newspapers back then, so I don't think there was a newspaper report or he didn't read this on the internet like we can. So I would assume that there were people who came to Paul from, when he was writing this, I think from Corinth, telling him about this, what had happened among the believers in Thessalonica. I think it's entirely possible that Paul, when he left there, thought, well, what's going to become of the church there? I've only been here just a brief time. All of the believers there were new Christians. I just had been born again into God's family. He wondered, I'm sure, if the devil was going to scatter them and that new faith, that new church there would be squashed like a bug. But what an encouragement it was when came back to Paul and reported what kind of a reception they had among that church and how they turned to God from idols and to wait for his son from heaven. So we're going to think about this word that they relied upon. There was an acceptance. They were responsive to God's voice. And how responsive am I? How responsive, I think you should ask, am I or you to the message that God has given? Are we willing to lay our lives down before Christ as he laid down his life for us? Are we willing to kneel at his cross and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me? I want to lift you up. I want to fulfill that purpose for which you've created me. And no matter what, I want you to strengthen me against any afflictions that I might have, because we're going to have them. The Bible says if we will live godly in Christ Jesus, we'll suffer persecution. So there's an acceptance here that we can learn from. There's an action. They turned from idols, we're told here, to the living God. And that had such an impact on those who witnessed this that they were just flabbergasted. They couldn't understand that what could have come over these people that they would leave their traditions, their idolatrous worship, and turned to the living God. And so it became an impactful church in that Thessalonica. Incidentally, Thessalonica was not just a little crossroads. It was about 200,000 people at this time, which was a very large city for that time. So you can just imagine the kind of impact that they might have had on that city. And we're already having, even as Paul wrote this, I think he kind of had to shake his head and just praise the Lord and say, Lord, you've just done it again. You've lifted up, brought a church into being in this very hard place. And a church that has accepted Christ and lived, are living for him and are witnessing for him, being a missionary church, to which, again, God has all called us to be that. And they awaited the word's promise, waiting for his son to come from heaven. Now, obviously, when Paul said waiting for Christ to come, he wasn't suggesting that they were just kind of sitting huddled in their little massive, you know, their little church cell groups or whatever they had, and just kind of praying and waiting, watching the time and thinking, well, God, you know, Jesus is going to come any moment. We want to be here when he comes. No, I don't think that they thought that way at all. I think because they, even though Paul was only there a month, he had ample time to share many things with them about the return of Christ, how Jesus said he would come again and receive his own unto himself, so that where he is, there we may be also. The Bible says that we are to occupy until he comes. Now, we may be listening to the news reports, and it's really kind of depressing. I'm kind of a news junkie, as some of you may know. I don't really like a lot of... I'm not very good at watching movies. I can watch about 15 minutes of a movie, and then I get disinterested. I've got a short attention span, I suppose. But I love news because it jumps from one thing to another. And but sometimes it can be very depressing and overwhelming. And sometimes we can think, well, the Lord, look what's happening in Europe now with the economy. And they're talking about some pretty drastic measures there, much like what's happened here. I noticed one of our former presidents has formed a global initiative, I suppose, to try to get the economies of the world together. So we see all of these things happening, and we wonder, well, could the Lord's coming be very far away? Could it be today? And we could get to think that we ought to just kind of sit and pray. But this is not the time to be sitting and praying. This is the time to be working even harder for the Lord, fulfilling that mission to which he called us, to share the good news of Christ with every person, every tribe, every nation on this earth, beginning, of course, with our Judea, our state, wonderful state of Hawaii. May God help us to be faithful. You are